broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
DRD Gold is the oldest company still listed on the JSE, having been listed since 1895. And I think some of the other companies are PPC, Sappi and Barloworld. But nonetheless, DRD Gold released their integrated annual report reflecting on what they describe as a favorable year during a positive gold price climate. I had a conversation with Rian Davel, who is the CFO at DRD Gold. Let's listen in. Rian, thank you so much for your time. I like reading, the annual reports that a lot of the listed companies publish, because it also gives you an opportunity, I suppose, as the executive team to reflect and, you know, look at what the strategy looks like, reflect on performance, but also some of the risks that you're keeping an eye on. But let's reflect. I mean, right at the top of the report, you talk about how it's an exciting time being involved in gold mining. Apart from the moves in gold prices, why do you see it as an exciting time?
Nastasia, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. Yeah, it's really exciting for DRD Gold as a business. As you know, we're the longest continuously listed company on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, next year 130 years. And it's wonderful to be part of this legacy of gold in Johannesburg, the story of gold. So we're particularly excited about the future. Obviously, this high gold price environment helps. I checked this morning, so well above 1.5 million rand a kilogram. But something that we're pursuing as a company is called Vision 2028. So we're investing significantly across our two operations, Ergo on the East Rand of Johannesburg and Far West Gold Recoveries on the Far West Rand. And what Vision 2028 entails is for us, through significant investment, and we're talking in the region of 10 billion rand over the next 4 years, to up our current throughput from just over 2 million tons per month to 3 million tons per month, and hopefully upping our gold output from the current 5 tons of gold per year to 6 tons of gold. So we're really investing in South Africa, all our assets currently in South Africa. And we'd like to pursue our business model of sustainably mining gold, hopefully for many, many decades to come into the future.
It's been quite interesting talking to analysts about their perspective on what's driving the gold price. I mean, apart from, you know, the inflation aspects and the geopolitical side of things, is there anything that you find fascinating about the kind of moves we're seeing in gold? What is standing out to you?
So, yeah, for us, obviously, we're in the gold industry, so we're very bullish about gold. And it's really good to see that our investments in the industry are paying off. So I think it has to do with the uncertainty that you've mentioned, that gold is still a safe harbor. And there's lots of talk about world currencies and US dollar. But at the moment, maybe what is surprising, but it's a good surprise, is just the speed at which the gold price is increasing. And that's why it's really the perfect environment for us to invest so heavily in a business model that we believe in. And not only our business model, but our purpose. I've mentioned our long history, but our purpose is to really reverse this negative environmental legacy that sort of scattered across the landscapes of Johannesburg, and through that, adding to quality of life. So it's really an encouraging model for us, because as you know, our model doesn't create any new waste. We take waste that's already there. We use more and more recycled water. Only at the moment, less than 5% of our total water use is potable water. And then very excitingly, where we've invested is in our own 60 megawatt solar plant and also 160 megawatt battery backup facility. So renewable energy forms a great part of our model. So it's really an exciting story, and obviously it helps that the gold price is high, and as you know, our shareholders get full exposure to that because we're an unhedged gold producer. So our focus remains on investing in the right areas to make sure all the various capitals benefit, but not that the financial bottom line must win. So that's why we focus heavily on cost containment as well.
Let's talk about Vision 2028. I mean, most of the listeners may not necessarily be aware of what it is. And I think you've done quite well in your first response in terms of touching on what it actually is. But take me back a little bit in terms of when Vision 2028 was implemented and some of the wins so far that you are seeing as you try and hit those targets and try and get to that Vision 2028.
Thanks, Nastasia. It's based on four, it's called them capital expenditure pillars. The one that I've just mentioned, our first one that will hopefully see full commissioning within this calendar year, is our 60 megawatt solar facility at Ogo with its 160 megawatt battery backup facility. So that's the first of the significant capital investments. Obviously for Ergo, that's renewable energy, the cost of electricity, which everyone is worried about. And that will definitely focus on cost containment for Ergo. The other two projects, if I can jump to the far west, the one is the regional tailings storage facility. So we're building a brand new 800 million ton facility on the far west, and we believe we're investing so big because we believe that is the amount of material that is available on the far west, although we don't own that level of material yet, but that facility will unlock many opportunities, I believe, for us. And then the third project is the a DP2 expansion project at the Far West Gold Recovery to increase the current plant capacity of the DP2 plant from 600 million tons per month to 600,000 tons per month to 1.2 million tons per month, and then obviously the pipeline infrastructure necessary to link all the sites to the plant, to the tailings storage facility. And then the fourth project is the Ergo expansion, which is very, very exciting. So to look to the far east of the Ergo plant in Brakpan to create that infrastructure. And obviously with any expansion project, we know that tailings capacity is key. So we're looking at various opportunities there to really commission the Vitok tailings storage facility and also looking for other opportunities to increase tailings capacity. So across the two operations that I've mentioned then, for Vision 2028 in the year, financial year 2028, to hopefully get us to 3 million tons throughput across the operations, as I've mentioned, and then hopefully reaching 6 tons of gold. So it's a very, very exciting project, but at a scale that we haven't tackled before. So with the excitement, it's also a daunting challenge, but we're ready to embrace it.
Right. Earlier this year, your CEO, Neil, talked about, you know, community-related interference causing, you know, delays for several months, especially when it comes to new projects being developed. Where are you when it comes to some of those community-related interferences, so to speak? And are you getting traction in being able to work around some of those issues?
Yes, Nastasia, sadly, as you mentioned, some of the delays in getting some of our reclamation sites at Ergo up and running was due to community interruption. So we're doing everything in our power to proactively engage with communities. But we're also finding ways to, with our purpose of improving the quality of life of communities, to proactively engage with them and making sure that they understand what we do and the contribution that we make in our business. And obviously, ultimately, that the success of our business adds to ultimately taxes that we pay to enable a very positive environment. So it will remain a risk for us because our footprint is so large. And obviously, the pipelines and infrastructure that we're building is quite vast. But we're positive that people can see that we want to do the right thing. We want to employ as far as we can local people for our projects. So although we're aware of the challenges, again, we're facing that head on, and we believe that we will and can overcome that.
When it comes to risks, I think pre the over 200 days or so of no load shedding, a lot of your peers, not just in mining, but those in retail, etc., the issues around load shedding were right up there when it comes to risks. and are enjoying, as I said, over 200 days or so. Can't get the exact number, and I don't want to be quoted on it in case I do get it wrong. But what has also been quite interesting to see is how a lot of your peers have been investing around the load shedding aspects, even though we are still seeing electricity supply. Apart from the load shedding side of things and the community interference, which you touched on, are there other risks that you're watching out for? And also, as a second part to that, how have those risks evolved over the past year? Like, what's on your radar when you're sitting with yourself and Neil and the rest of the team?
It's also, yes, excellent question. Big on our radar is tailings capacity. Because our business is one of mega volumes and almost a nano recovery of gold, a huge focus for us is firstly to expand our tailings capacity, because that enables the future of our business, and at the same time making sure that we operate our tailings facility, which tailings facility is to the highest standard of governance that we possibly can. So that's a huge focus for us. So we both see it as a risk and an opportunity, which is exciting. Security will remain a challenge for us, or a risk. Again, we're investing a lot to make sure that our people are safe. And again, we have a vast footprint to secure, but we're using the best technology that we can to enable us to do it. All the other things that's part of South Africa that you've mentioned, that we're also trying to embrace the opportunity of that, the social infrastructure that's broken in many respects. But we're trying to, again, as I mentioned, to do as much as we possibly can to show what we can do as a business and how we contribute in the form of taxes and other contributions. So we're also tackling that head on. So we're very positive about South Africa. Obviously, the Government of National Unity, the forming of that has been a great positive, I believe. And that's why we're investing into South Africa. So we see a great model, and we believe in our business model, and we believe in the purpose of reversing the environmental legacy of mining. And it's great, as I said, to be part of the story of gold in Johannesburg.
Mm. On your top 12 strategic risks, I think you touched on the tailings deposition facilities, but you've got as number two country and political risk, and that between 2023 yes. and 2024 is a risk that is unchanged. Talk to me about what is concerning you on that side.
So it's the it's aspects that I've mentioned now.
Right.
So it's around social instability, lack of opportunities, unemployment, maybe political will to fix things. So it's the construct of South Africa. At least we've operated long enough in the country to understand those risks.
Yeah.
And I believe the opportunity is just so great. So. And I know there's many opportunities created by government and business to work together, and we'll be looking to contribute to those if we can. So I think we understand the risk. Sadly, many municipalities, I know, struggle with service delivery, with doing the basic things right for their constituents. So it's that environment, Nastasia, that we're in. I think we understand that, but I believe there's upside. There's opportunities in that as well.
Is that upside and those opportunities as a result of this optimism that we've seen since the GNU, since elections, etc., or is that upside and those opportunities a function of something else that may have occurred pre-GNU?
So I think the upside opportunity has always been there. This momentum of the GNU, I think, is adding to that. But for me personally, I think the proof is in the pudding. I think the GNU can work, can make it work, and also at a municipal level. So I think that's really important, and at the metro level where we operate. So, but we need that as a country, that optimism, and I think if we work together, and everyone bring what they can to the party, I think that optimism can result in real economic growth. ultimately in creating job opportunities. And that's in the medium term what our projects are creating, what we're very excited about, obviously in the construction phase, but also once we've gone to Vision 2028, also in the operating phase with high capacity. So I really hope that ignites other opportunities for growth in the country.
Rian, it's been a pleasure having a conversation with you and also getting a sense of how you and the rest of the team at DRD Gold are feeling right now, post-GNU, but also as you reflect back on your performance and some of the things that you are excited about as it relates to Vision 2028. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Nastasia.
And if you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.